Okay, we are now observing the last great day. God said to observe the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days, but then it talks about the eighth day, the last great day, the day after the Feast of Tabernacles, which, as Mr. Armstrong and the church always said, was a separate and distinct festival, totally separate from the Feast of Tabernacles. The mirror reflection of the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, which also last for 8 days, but are two separate festivals with complementary but differing meanings. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, verse 22. A simple verse, not hard to understand. It says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And as Mr. Armstrong used to inject into the verse every time he read it, just about, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all, the same all, be made alive." Every human being, whoever lived, is going to be resurrected from the dead. Now go over to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." That's the church. "And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" That's the question that needs to be answered on the last great day. What will be the end of those who are not obeying God right now? Verse 18, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Now we know by keeping God's holy days that God is calling a few first fruits right now, pictured by Pentecost. And they're going to come up in the first resurrection. They're going to be with Christ during the millennium and help him govern the world. But what about all the others who don't come up in the first resurrection? All those human beings who lived from Adam until now and until the second coming of Christ, who do not or did not obey God, and they lived and died, and they don't come up in the first resurrection. What's going to happen to them? Well, that's the question that needs to be asked and answered. Let's back up to verse 4, same chapter. Right now, the people whom God has not called and they're not in the church, they think of it as strange that you don't run with them to the same excess of riot, and they speak evil of you. But verse 5 says, "They shall give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." Now you see, their time to be judged shall come. "For this reason," verse 6, "the gospel was preached to them who are dead." Now, a lot of people have lived and died from Adam until now. And a lot of them heard the gospel. The prophets preached in the Old Testament. Christ and the apostles preached in the New Testament. A lot of them heard the gospel, "that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." Now you see, God intends to help them. When they come up in the great white throne judgment, it's not to automatically throw them into the lake of fire and give them the second death, but rather to teach them and work with them and help them so that they can have an opportunity for salvation, just as the ones that God is calling in this age are having an opportunity for salvation. And then, if they still refuse to repent, after they've been given ample opportunity to hear God's message and everything that pertains to the gospel and what God is doing, because God wants to save them. He doesn't desire to give people death. He desires to give them life. And the Bible says that. If they still utterly refuse and don't want to have life and cooperate with God and learn to live God's ways, yeah, then there'll be the second death waiting for those who would rather not be in God's family. Acts 17, verse 30. The times of this ignorance God winks at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance to all men in that he has raised him from the dead. That would be Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Acts chapter 10 also. Acts 10, in verse 38, Peter says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are his witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to everybody, but to us witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he who has been ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Over in Acts chapter 24, verse 14, Paul is defending himself, and he says, I admit that after the way which they call heresy, I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which have been written in the law and the prophets. I have hope toward God, which they themselves allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And we go back to John chapter 5, in verse 21, for as the Father raises up the dead and gives them life, even so the Son will raise whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. Down in verse 25, truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, that's life with a capital L, eternal life, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, life inherent, life with a capital L. Human beings have life with a small letter L. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. We read this morning that there's a time to be born and a time to die. And we had our whole Bible study on the fact that living in tabernacles during the Feast of Tabernacles pictures the mortal sojourn that we are involved in by being human beings. We have temporary physiochemical existence. We're flowers in the grass. But this life is a training ground for eternal life. But we haven't been changed yet from mortal to immortal at the seventh trumpet when Christ comes. But we shall be changed. The Bible says so, according to the judgment of Jesus Christ, if we're found worthy of eternal life. And Jesus is in the business. It's his job of helping us to be there and to inherit eternal life. God doesn't want to lose a single one. He wants to help each and every one to inherit eternal life. And it's Christ's job to help us. So in verse 27, God the Father has given Jesus Christ, the Son of God, authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Jesus became a human being. God the Father didn't do that. So Jesus has been delegated the job and the power and the authority to judge human beings so that they can inherit eternal life. It's his job to help us along. Verse 27 says that the Father has delegated the authority to the Son. Verse 28, don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. This is going to happen on the last great day. We read earlier that as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Well, the next verse says, but every man in his own order. Christ first, then those who are Christ's at his coming. And then you have to plug that in with Revelation 20 that says, blessed and holy are those who are in the first resurrection, but the rest of the dead shall not live until the 1,000 years are finished. But all shall be resurrected. That's the Bible teaching. You can be sure of it. Now, Jesus died on the Passover 2,000 years ago. He fulfilled the Passover. He was crucified on the Passover. But he was resurrected during the days of unleavened bread, 3 days and 3 nights later, right in the middle of the days of unleavened bread. The Bible says, keep the holy days 3 times in a year, 3 seasons. Now, in that first season of Passover and days of unleavened bread, that pictures the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the first human being to enter into the kingdom of God, the divine family of God. He was the first one. That's the first round of resurrection. God has been calling and working with a group of people during the 6,000-year period who are going to come up in the resurrection at Christ's second coming. They are the first fruits. Christ is the first of the first fruits. He was that wave sheaf offering. And then those Pentecost loaves picture the saints who are being prepared during the 6,000 years to meet Christ in the air and to receive eternal life at that time. But then these fall holy days picture the third period when God is going to be working with people to bring them into his family. And that's what we're observing here in the Feast of Tabernacles and Last Great Day. The great harvest of human beings into the family of God. Every human being will be resurrected in their own order at that time. Now we go to Revelation 20. In verse 4 it says, I saw thrones and they sat on them. And at the end of the verse, they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Then it says, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now we drop down to verse 11. I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. All the cemeteries and graveyards and the sea and the oceans and everything, all the dead are going to be raised. And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's go back to the book of John, chapter 12, in verse 47. If any man hear my words and doesn't believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and doesn't receive my words, the word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Now you see, Jesus is not judging the world now, but the teaching that he taught and the word that he gave, the message that he brought down from God the Father. It said in Revelation 20 that the books will be opened to them, the books of the Bible, and they will be judged out of the books. God's going to give them the opportunity to understand what is in the Bible. Their time will come. They will be judged by the words that are in the Bible, which have been inspired by God through Christ and through the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles. The Bible. God has sent it down here. And that's how people will be judged. I wish I had Mr. Armstrong's autobiography here, because when he came to conversion and he wrote in his autobiography I found that I will not be judged by man's denominations or pronouncements or doctrines or theologies, but by the Word of God, by the Bible. That's how people are going to be judged, according to the words in the Bible. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 7. Mark 5, 7. Jesus called the 12 and began to send them forth two by two. And he gave them power over unclean spirits and commanded them that they shouldn't take a lot of money or anything, but trust God for those things. In verse 10, he said to them, "Wherever you go, enter into a house and stay with the people. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake the dust off your feet for a testimony against them. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out demons and healed people that were sick. Now you see, this would be a witness. God wanted the gospel to be preached as a witness, so that when people come up in the great white throne judgment, even though they weren't called during the 6,000-year period, because no man can come to Christ unless God the Father draws him, John 6:44. But he still wants people to have an awareness of what the Word of God is, and they'll be judged according to what they were given to understand. You know, when Abraham went to Egypt and some other places, he perceived that there was no fear of God in the land. Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. People should have a sense that God is up there and that they will be judged eventually. Even if God isn't calling them to be in the first resurrection, judgment day will come. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. He began to upbraid the cities where he had done most of his mighty works because they didn't repent. He said, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." In chapter 12, verse 36, "I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of Sheba will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because she came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and a greater than Solomon is here." And you see, the judgment day is going to come. And that's what Jesus said in John 5, you know, "Don't marvel at this, the day is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth and be judged." Now, we started off with 1 Peter 4, and Peter said, well, if the righteous scarcely be saved, then what's going to be the end of those who don't believe right now? Well, they're going to rise in the judgment after the millennium, and they will be judged according to their works. Now, let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 37. Now, you see, what people don't realize is that they're going to be given an opportunity for salvation because they were not called during their first human lifetime. But God did allow them to hear his message. Now, as Mr. Armstrong taught, they're going to learn that Jesus Christ died for their sins and that God is willing to forgive them if they will repent. Now, their sins will be brought before them, and Jesus is the judge, and he knows what's in everybody's heart. He knows every hair on everybody's head. We heard a sermon one time about the spirit in man, and that God has a way of looking at the spirit of everybody, because your spirit records everything you've ever done, everything you've seen and heard and thought, and it's all recorded in there. And that Christ will have a way of looking at that spirit that's inside of a person and knows what's in there, as if it were written in a book. But it's inside your head, in your spirit, and God retains that spirit. And he'll put that spirit into a resurrected body, and the person will wake up from the dead. And they will be judged. Now, God's purpose is to help everybody to come to repentance and eternal life. And unless the person just refuses, well, Christ already paid the penalty for their sins, and they're going to be told that. And just like us today, if people will repent, accept the sacrifice of Jesus for their sins, and repent means turn around and go the other way. Go God's way now. Stop living the way you did. Now start living the way of God's law and receive his spirit and let him write his laws in your hearts and minds. They're going to be given that opportunity, just like the church is today. And if they meet Christ's favor and judgment, because he's going to judge them, he can decide if they're worthy of eternal life or not. And he'll decide according to each individual and their ways if they can either have eternal life or, if not, then to be put into a lake of fire, a second death from which there will never be a resurrection again. It will be an eternal death. Now in Ezekiel 37, God tells Ezekiel, look at this valley of bones that's down there. In verse 3, he says, Son of man, can these bones live? Verse 4, he said, Now tell these bones, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you will live. And I will lay sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you will live. Remember Adam? How God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And Adam woke up. Well, God can do these things. God can cause a baby to form in the mother's womb and to be born, and God can give it life. God can do these things. So when a person dies, it's not too hard for God to bring them back to life again. It's just not too hard. There is a resurrection from the dead. That's why it says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. So I prophesied, verse 7, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. While I watched, the sinews and the flesh came on them, and the skin covered them all, but there was no breath in them yet, at the end of verse 8. Just like when God formed Adam's body out of the dust of the ground, but God hadn't breathed the breath of life into Adam yet. Then he said to me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Come, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet. Verse 11, then he said, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Verse 12, prophesy, and say to them, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. And now we go over to Romans chapter 11. In verse 25 of Romans 11, I would not have you ignorant of this mystery, that blindness is on Israel right now. Verse 26, But all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant to them when I take away their sins. Now verse 28, As concerning the gospel, they are enemies. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the fathers' sakes, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are the physical descendants of Abraham. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. They're the natural branches descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 30. For as you in times past did not believe God, yet now you have obtained mercy while they're in a state of unbelief. Verse 31. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Verse 32, this is the key verse. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. See, right now, they're not believing God. They don't believe in Jesus and the apostles and the New Testament and the Holy Spirit. They don't believe right now, but they will when they come up in the great white throne judgment. And those saints who are now being called and trained and receive God's Spirit, and they come up in the first resurrection, and they're with Christ during the millennium, then when God does resurrect the Israelites, we will be able to help them. And that's what Paul was telling the Romans in the Church of God. God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy on all. And it says in verse 31, through your mercy they may obtain mercy. Christ will use the saints of the first resurrection to help Israel and the rest of humanity come to salvation in the world tomorrow and in the second resurrection. Now, this is God's great plan. God is not only the God of Israel, he's the God of the Gentiles too, but the Bible talks about to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. What's going to happen to Israel will also happen to the Gentiles. Verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid? For from God and through God and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Now let's turn over to John chapter 6, in verse 44. No man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. God has a plan, and nobody can come to Christ right now unless God draws him. But the time will come when they will all be taught of God in their own order at the right time. Now we go to Hebrews 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. See, it is appointed to all men once to die. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all, the same all, be made alive. And the church is being judged right now. And this is the only time of judgment for the church. But those who are not in the church, those who have not been called, they will come up in the second resurrection after the millennium. And it will be a resurrection to judgment. That's the time that they will be judged in the great white throne judgment. As we've read, we put all these scriptures together. Now, I'm not making this up, and I'm not using notes. I'm just reading from the Bible, and I'm telling you what I've learned from the church all through these 44 years that I've been in the church. Now, we keep God's holy days from beginning to end, from the Passover down to the last great day. And they teach us that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus Christ to be the Passover sacrifice for the sins of all the world. And Jesus died to pay the penalty of human sin. And God calls all people to repent. But nobody can come to God unless God opens their mind to understanding and grants them the opportunity to repent. And that opportunity has only been given to a few people in the first 6,000 years because God's laying a foundation. And the saints who come up in the first resurrection will help Christ to help the rest of humanity to come into the family of God. So you have this sequence of events pictured by the holy days. And on the last great day, That pictures the time when all human beings who ever lived will be resurrected, who were not in the first resurrection or changed to immortality during the millennium. So, that's our last great day message. We asked, what will happen to those who are not righteous right now, who are not in God's church, in 1 Peter 4:17? What's going to happen to them? Well, the answer is that on the last great day, all will be raised from the dead. I take Tony to the cemetery once in a while, and we look at not only our parents' graves and our brother's grave, and all the other graves that are all over the place in that beautiful Lakewood Cemetery in Minneapolis, but we talk about the fact that all these people who are dead and buried in these graves are going to come up again. We're going to see our mom again. We're going to see our loved ones. And God is going to make everything right. Everything is going to be just fine. And I keep telling Tony that. Don't worry. God's going to make everything right. Don't worry about it. Even we are going to die. We all have to die. Unless you live up to the second coming of Christ and are in the first resurrection. But don't worry about it. All the dead are going to come back to life again. And that's the happy message of the last great day. God's holy days teach us how God is going to resurrect everybody from the dead in their own time order. I'm very thankful that God has helped us to keep all of God's holy days this year. That's a prayer that is now being totally fulfilled. We've kept all of God's holy days for another year. We'll pray again next year for the same blessing. Because God's holy days teach us His great plan